Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Steve Bailey with you today, taking you right up to about 4:45. Then it's time for some high school softball tournament action. Oberlin taking on Wellington. It's part of our triple header of baseball. Then we've got Lake Erie Crushers baseball. And later on tonight, the Cleveland Indians out on the West Coast taking on the Oakland A's. And one of the voices you will hear calling that game, Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. He joins us here in just a moment. But don't forget, when we wrap up with Rosie, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we're giving away a four-pack of tickets to see the Indians take on the A's when the A's come to Cleveland on Tuesday, May 21st. Rosie, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. How are you?
Well, so far, so good. Glad that you guys have landed in Oakland safely after a very, very long delay yesterday. And the Indians, of course, come out on the right end of a 5-0 decision over the Chicago White Sox. And, you know, certainly it was nice to see the Indians respond and capitalize on some of that momentum after the walk-off homer from Jose Ramirez back on Wednesday night. But I want to start with Carlos Carrasco. Boy, Rosie, he was just incredible yesterday. What particularly was working really well for him against the Sox in yesterday's game?
Well, I mean, Andy, I think it was pretty much what we've seen. I think it's about a 5-start stretch now. Yeah, he had that rough patch early, the one game he didn't get out of the first inning. But since that time, you know, he's just been much more aggressive. I mean, right out of the chute, 95 with a fastball, and that sets up everything else for him. That makes that change up all the better, and he keeps it down. And then his slider's been good, too. So, you know, you get all that working together, and he's working quickly. His tempo's there. It just seems like he's just really focused in and where he needs to be in terms of his delivery, and that's resulted in a real good stretch.
No doubt about that. And I think we talk about how baseball is a game of ebbs and flows, and certainly it seemed as though the Tribe was able to capitalize on some momentum that they captured in that walk-off victory on Wednesday night. Jose Ramirez with a colossal two-run shot, and I think if ever a guy really needed it, it would certainly be Jose Ramirez. Although, you know, he certainly has hit the ball a little bit better in recent weeks. I know we touched on that last week. How much of a jolt do you think the entire team received after Ramirez's walk-off homer on Wednesday?
Well, you know, he's been such a key part of it. And, you know, the last couple of years, he's been a major part of the offense and one of the not only better hitters on the team, but better hitters in the American League. So when he's struggling, and, you know, I think it's hard for, you know, his teammates to see that. But, you know, he's been a little bit better. He's been getting on base. He had that streak heading into yesterday of 17 games in a row of just getting on base, and it's a little thing, and it's not, you know, it's not the big home run totals and everything else that's come for him in recent seasons, but at least it's something, and then he gets the big blow Wednesday night, and I think it does impact the rest of the team in a real positive way. So it was nice to see. It was unexpected, I think, especially the night that we had Wednesday with the wind blowing in, but it sure was fun, and hopefully that's something that can get him going a little more consistently.
Would you agree, too, that, you know, what we saw on Wednesday is certainly a result of the atmosphere that's kind of been built in that clubhouse? You know, people after the game on Tuesday, you know, they're looking at this thing from the outside, criticizing it up and down, saying this team can't hit. When are they going to break out of it? And I thought Terry Francona's comments after the game were really pretty interesting. And he said, look, the easy part of this is to pat these guys in the back when things are going well. But look, there are going to be stretches where things just aren't going so well. We've got to dig and get to the bottom of this to try and fix the problem, but we certainly can't panic. And I think one of the things I really took away from his comments post-game on Tuesday was that if we start panicking as coaches, what do you think these guys are going to do? So it just seemed very interesting to me that the very next night, it didn't seem like anybody really panicked. They were able to fix it, and that next night they had a dozen hits.
And, you know, who knows if it carries on. But you know what, Bull, I think it's fair for the, you know, the fans to feel the way they do, because it has been tough here the first portion of the season. And you know, I think that's natural, but you can't do that as a manager or a coach. You just can't. But it's certainly fair for the fans to do it. But it's like Tito said, you know, if he reacted like they did, he'd be a fan at some point very soon, because, you know, sometimes you have, there's a couple of things at play. you want to support your team, obviously, but what's the alternative? You know, who are you going to, if you do start making changes, who are you going to plug into certain spots that would do better? And I think that's a tough question to answer. So you stay behind hitters who have track records of performing well, and certainly Jose Ramirez does, you know, if we want to just stay on that part of it. So that's the important thing. And yeah, you know, I know whenever I've talked to players, and this goes back to, I think, Tito's first year when Mike Aviles was here, and they were, I think they had a 9 or 10 game losing skid midway through that season. And during that stretch, I asked Mike, you know, what's it been like, and this, that, and the other thing. He said, this is where Tito is at his best, because you would not know that we're in that kind of stretch, because he keeps everything consistent. He has, you know, he still supports the team. There's no panic involved. And they eventually worked out of it and ended up making the postseason that year. So it's something that's worked for him before. Is it going to work every time? No. I mean, you know, there may come a season where it just doesn't turn around, but you have to give players who have track records a chance, especially when they're still in the prime of their careers.
Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. The Indians in action a little bit later on tonight. The Tribe taking on the Oakland A's. It all begins at 9:05 with Indians warm-up. Rosie, during Indians warm-up yesterday, you had a conversation with James Harris, Indians farm director, and I know a lot of Indians fans certainly interested to see what's happening down on the farm now that most affiliates, not all just yet, but most affiliates have been in action now for a little bit over a month. But what were some of your major takeaways in your conversation with James Harris?
Well, certainly the relief pitcher who's now at Triple-A Columbus, James Karinchak, ridiculous numbers in terms of strikeouts, innings pitched, the lack of hits allowed, the lack of runs allowed. He's coming, and he throws upper 90s and now has good command to go with that. So he's on the fast track. You know, I don't know that there's a need right now, but keep that name in mind, James Karinchak, as maybe someone who helps at some point in time this season. And then, of course, you know, we talked about Oscar Mercado a little bit because that's a name that's come up quite a bit. Had that good spring in Major League camp, and it's important for him to keep playing every day. That's the, I think, what they're grappling with right now. They're excited about him. And maybe he could help a little bit up here, but I think we're seeing it with Jordan Luplow. He's done well, but it, just the way the roster's configured right now, for a right-handed hitter, there wouldn't be every day at bats. And where Mercado is right now in his development and career, he needs to play every day. That'll be a much bigger benefit for the Indians down the road than if they brought him up and just had him play once or twice a week. That wouldn't help him at this point.
Rosie, do you think some of those same elements could be at play for Greg Allen, and do you think that might be one of the reasons why they ended up sending him down? Because at Columbus, he'll get an opportunity to play every day as opposed to just kind of being a situational outfielder in the late innings of games up here?
Well, part of it, but you know, he actually fits that role because he can run and play defense and things like that, but he just wasn't hitting enough. And he's a better left-handed hitter than right-handed hitter, and the at-bats for him were coming as a right-handed hitter against the lefty pitching. So Luplow's actually a better fit right now in that role. But it certainly can't hurt Greg Allen to play every day, certainly not. But he does profile as a fourth or extra outfielder who can do a lot of little things and then help your team. And, you know, just the way the roster's set up right now, very left-handed heavy, it's a tough fit for him.
Rosie, I know we talk a lot about the bullpen, and this year that's been a very good thing because the bullpen has just been terrific. And, you know, sometimes there are guys that we leave out, and there's a guy I want to highlight today, and that's Tyler Clippard. I know he hasn't had the opportunity to pitch a ton with that pectoral injury. He joined the team late as a result. Just some of your early impressions of Tyler Clippard and the way you think he's been used so far.
Well, they're getting him in there when they can, and you know, I think you may see, as he gets more appearances under his belt, a bigger role in key spots for him. If he was left-handed, he'd be a crafty lefty. He's right-handed, so I guess he's a crafty righty, but you don't hear that term used too much for right-handed pitchers. But, you know, he really has to keep hitters off balance. He's not blowing anybody away with the hard stuff anymore at this stage of his career. But he has been around the block a time or two and pitched in some key spots for different teams in Major League Baseball. And I think there's value in that experience, and I think they'll kind of ride that as long as they can. And he's always been durable. This was the first time that he's had any type of injury. So I think they like what they have there, and we might see him in some more key spots as time goes by.
Sure. It's nice to have a guy like that who has experience in those high-leverage situations. All right, Rosie, well, we'll cut you loose on this. The Indians, of course, tonight beginning a five-game roadie, three over the weekend in Oakland, then two at the beginning of next week against the Chicago White Sox. Let's preview the weekend series against the Oakland A's. Rosie, this is a team that has gotten out to a really difficult start. They're hoping that history repeats itself and they can do what they did last year, but this is a team that's struggling a bit right now.
Yeah, and you know, they've been a team that takes a little bit to find itself. They have some injuries, some key injuries going right now. So this has never been an easy place to play for the Indians for whatever reason. When they've been good, it's been a struggle. When they haven't had good clubs, it's been a struggle. So that'll be the challenge this weekend. You know, the names you're seeing pitching-wise, not household names in terms of the starters, but it always seems like runs are hard to come by here. So they'll have to really scratch and claw and see what they can put up on the scoreboard. And the Indians have Cody Anderson going tonight in his second start of the season. And it's got to be better than the first time around. I think that first time around was, you know, he just was struggling with his mechanics and that created command issues. I think it'll be a lot better this time around, you know, 5 days after.
Absolutely. Well, Rosie, we appreciate the time. As always, we look forward to hearing your call tonight. Indians and the Oakland A's. Coverage begins at 9:05 with Indians warm-up. Rosie, thank you so much. Enjoy the West Coast, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Bull. Thank you.
Thank you, Rosie, again. Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's open up those phone lines. If you would like four tickets to see the Indians take on the A's when the A's come to Cleveland on Tuesday, May 21st, well, thanks to our good friends at North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, we are giving away those four tickets. All you have to do is be the first to call 440-322-0930. That's 440-322-0930. If you're the first to call, you'll win a four-pack of tickets to see the A's and the Indians at Progressive Field on Tuesday, May 21st. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every day of the year. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Steve Bailey and I will return after this here on AM 930 WEOL.